Hello, everyone. Welcome to Trade TV, another big day of trades. Al Payton here with Jay Clark from the Herald Sun. We'll get to Jay in a sec. Of course, the live blog is up and running on the Herald Sun, so go and jump in there and we'll follow that all day. We'll be on across all the moves and rumours and everything that's happening in trade and free agency. But, Jay, we need to get straight to the top. Blockbuster move today. Kyle Hardigan has moved from Adelaide to Hawthorn, and they've had to pay up to get him fourth round pick. So is this going to shake the trade period to its foundations?
I think it's been a smart pickup from Hawthorn. I mean, people have been critical because he's an older player and Hawthorn are meant to be into, you know, more youth. But really, he's just going to play a role at fullback, much like Ben Stratton and James Frawley have been. So, you know, you can lock him in for 20 games, clearly Kyle Hardigan. And, you know, with the retirements clearly that they've had, and James Sicily facing a year out, CJ, who's still a developing defender, I think it's been a really smart move. And for what was it, a future fourth round pick? You know, it's absolute steak knives, isn't it? So if it wasn't for Isaac Smith's departure, they would have got him as a free agent, clearly, but they wouldn't have wanted that to dilute the free agency compensation they got for Isaac Smith, which I think was a third round pick. So I think this is typical Hawthorn savvy trading. And I think at the end of next year, we'll say Hardigan was a really smart move. He's a reliable, solid fullback. So typical Hawthorn move for mine, and I like it.
Nice one. Anything else that we know that the Hawks are doing? They traditionally play their cards pretty close to their chest.
It's like a bank vault, the Hawthorn trade room. I mean, we're obviously working all day to try and get these newsy snippets about what clubs are doing. But I just sort of think of the Hawthorn war room and just all the laser sensors and the cameras that must be around there to stop anything coming in, anything coming out. So, look, we got intrigue around pick four, obviously, and what they'll do with that. There's some talk maybe that they could split that. And, you know, so instead of four, they could have 10 and 20 or 8 and 15 or whatever. I mean, we're all watching the Adam Treloar deal, aren't we? And I think by the end of next week, a club will emerge. And everyone's doing their sums and working out how much Collingwood will try and pay of his salary and how committed he could be to a change. There's so much due diligence that's going on with the Adam Treloar situation. So I don't think you can conclusively rule in or out too many clubs at this point. And with Hawthorn, I've just got them to the side thinking it wouldn't shock me if they came sort of late, because they're a club with seven or eight A-graders on their list as it is. You look at Shields, Gunston, Mitchell, O'Meara, Wingard, etc. They're a club who have still a lot of A-graders. Well, they're trying to bring in some youngsters underneath. It just wouldn't surprise me in the end if they did go for Treloar. They're saying it's not on their radar at the moment, but it just wouldn't completely shock me either, because if Hawthorn's a team, if their good players play well and they get some from development underneath, would it shock you if they won three of their first four games, you know, next year? They beat Richmond in round three. They beat Brisbane in round one with not a too dissimilar side. So anyway, a bit of a tangent.
I think, maybe a Johnny Patton has a bit of a better run with injury. There's potential there. The other club as you say, a lot of clubs have been mentioned in the whole Treloar drama. But another one's name was thrown up today was St Kilda. So they got Brad Crouch in. That happened very late last night. Adelaide blinked at the end and took that pick 23. Yep. Did that surprise you, first of all?
No, it didn't. I mean, I thought it was always the smart play from Adelaide. Why would you risk it, when St Kilda were going to walk him through to the preseason draft anyway? Because Brad Crouch was caught with the illicit substance, it means you have to do your due diligence on that player, don't you? You have to do a lot of work before you recruit that player. St Kilda had done that, but no other clubs really. Essendon weren't that keen. Geelong weren't keen. I mean, they liked him at a particular price point, so they would have got him in the preseason draft. I've got no doubt about that. So Adelaide, for all their bluffing, made the smart call in the end. Look, this has been a sensational couple of years for St Kilda in the trade period. We've talked a lot about what they did last year. Butler, obviously, Hill, Paddy Ryder clearly worked in the ruck tandem situation. Dougal Howard doesn't get talked about a lot, but he's been a really solid servant for them in their first year. So now they go and get Crouch for free, Adelaide best and fairest winner. He sidles up next to Jack Steele, and it gives them a much stronger presence around that hard ball, doesn't it? So I think this has been, really strong 18 months for the St Kilda Football Club. Do they go for Adam Treloar? Well, talking to them yesterday.
I mean, they made it all the way to the semi-final against the Tigers, and you just think one more A-grade midfielder would just about top them up, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the issue is the salary cap, and they said this to me as much yesterday. They said, look, we couldn't afford a player of his caliber. They got a lot of respect for him, and if they had more time to plan for Adam Treloar being available, then potentially they could have made something work. If pick, 17 they've got for Collingwood, that could be the basis of a deal. So they're in a strong position in terms of what they could give. It really is just the salary cap. So now it's all eyes on Seb Ross. It's all eyes on Jack Billings. It's Dunstan Webster, Roberton. And if they can offload some of these players themselves to create some salary cap room, then a quick, simple question for St Kilda fans is, who would you rather on your list, Adam Treloar or Seb Ross? Adam Treloar or a combination of the other guys, Roberton, Webster, Dunstan, etc. So, look, at this point, they would have to move out some of those players to get Treloar in. I don't think you could say rule them out at this point. It does look unlikely, and that's as much as they've said. But I don't think they're in pole position for Adam Treloar at this stage. I think the club who is in the pole position is in the west of Melbourne.
And we'll get to them next, because I think you must be referring to the Bulldogs, and that would be to replace, well, I don't know, is he going to replace Dunkley? Because would he come in and play a bit of ruck?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's the ideal replacement. In Western Bulldogs, as we've said, ad nauseum, they don't want to trade Josh Dunkley. But if Josh Dunkley has a Zoom meeting or a one-on-one meeting with Coach Luke Beveridge and says, I do not want to be here next year, please trade me out, my future isn't here, I'm not committed, I want to be an Essendon player, well, then I think as a club, you've got to try and do your best to facilitate that deal. What would that look like? Is it a first-round pick and a second-round pick? I sort of think that clubs who have given up two first-round picks recently haven't got value. Really, you know, I mean, Collingwood got two first-round picks for Treloar. He's been pretty good. Shield probably hasn't worked just yet. So I think that two first-round picks is too much for Josh Dunkley. But whether it's a first-round pick and something else, then maybe that gets the Bulldogs talking. So if he moves to Essendon, and there's a $600,000 contract, 4 years, a primary role, it's an attractive for him. He's got a few issues with stuff that happened this year in the playing group. If he moved out, then Treloar is the perfect replacement, let's be honest, because he's has some wheels, doesn't he? Yes, he can play on ball, so he fills that inside midfield spot. But then he has that leg speed, maybe which the Bulldogs need. Yes, they've got Liberatore in there. Yes, they've got Marcus Bontempelli. We know he's a smooth mover, but Treloar could give the Western Bulldogs a different dimension. I do have some Collingwood fans, just to stick on Treloar for a second. Collingwood fans are up in arms about Treloar. I don't see it. I'm not as emotional on that, on Adam Treloar. Yes, he's given good service, I think. But can I pose a couple of questions for you, Al? And you're a very smart man. Right. is Adam Treloar a flexible player? How many positions on the ground can Adam Treloar play?
Yeah, I don't really remember seeing him play off a back flank or anywhere as a forward or anything.
Right, he can play one position, he can play as a non-baller, right? So he's pretty inflexible, that would say. I think not many players in the AFL these days can play one position. Right, secondly, is he a great kick?
No, that's been the knock on him basically his whole career, isn't it? Like, he's got no issues fine in the footy, but can butcher it a little bit.
Can butcher it a bit, right. Is he durable?
Well, I mean, you just have to look at his injury history and his, he does two at once.
He hasn't been durable. What is he like defensively?
I don't watch him as close. I'm not a Collingwood fan, but I'm sure other people would watch him closer than me. I don't know.
You're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah, a lot of rundown tactics in my memory.
Yeah, so there you go. So I think when Collingwood looks at Adam Treloar and they do so really shrewdly, and he's on 900 grand, he's had hamstring issues, he's not great defensively, he's not very flexible, and he's not a super kick. Now, that is a harsh view quite clearly, but I reckon when you start to think about those concepts and obviously his family situation. I think you start get to the heart of Collingwood's thinking here. That is my view from the outside, joining the dots. But I think that is a big part of the decision making. And as we said in the Herald Sun today, they got Steele Sidebottom, who was as an on-baller in 2018, had a career best year. We were talking about Steele Sidebottom as one of the best players in the competition. I remember reading all that stuff, writing all that stuff. We're talking about a lot on radio. Since then, he's come down. He's been a bit more forward. He's moved outside to the wing. His clearance attendance as center clearance attendance has dropped from 50% to 23%. So in a nutshell, they've got a ready-made a replacement as an on-baller who, when you look at the numbers, is more damaging. Because when Steele Sidebottom was in the center clearances, Collingwood center clearances this year, they were plus 23. When he was out, what was it? They were minus 7. So when they'll be doing all the analytics, all the data, Collingwood, I think they look at their on-ball setup and they're head-scratching because they've got a dominant ruckman, they've got Scotty Penderbury, they've got Taylor Adams, two superstars of the competition. Yet hasn't been as efficient. The Collingwood engine room hasn't been as efficient as it should be. Now, after 2 years of dealing with this problem, they've looked at it really harshly and critically and analytically, and they've come up with a left field answer that's shocked everyone. So as emotional as Collingwood fans are, and they love Adam Treloar, and I love how open he's been about certain things over the past couple of years, he's not happy right now, obviously. I, as a business decision in football, I'm not totally against it because Collingwood is a club that finished sixth. They've got to get better. They haven't got full value out of the midfield. What are they going to do? So they've made a bold decision here, and we'll see if it comes off. But, I in the cold, hard light of day, think it might be could be a good move. If they can get something that resembles some sort of value back, if they have to pay $400,000-$600,000 of his salary, and when they get big 40 back, then obviously it's not ideal. They need to get some value back. So maybe the Collingwood silence. So they haven't been saying too much about him. Maybe it's because they don't want to paint this picture. Maybe they don't want to say, well, he's a bit inflexible. Or he's not a great kick. He's not super defensively. They don't want to bring down his value, do they? So I would think. That partly explains their silence, but, we can talk about that around the water cooler, Al. Do you think I'm being really harsh there? Do you listen to that and think he's off his tree or not?
Well, I think there's two sides to the coin. I think he didn't, hardly say that, he realised the things that players couldn't do and he had to turn around and look at what players could do and what they could bring to the team. But and Treloar obviously brings a lot. He gets more of the footy than just about anybody, and that's got to be a massive tick. Nobody questions his attitude and he seems like a great fella, not having met him personally. But yeah. I guess the other question is that, you could ask Collingwood, would they be maybe thinking, did they do all this hard analysis before they signed him to this massive contract 12 months ago? Mm. Sort of landed them in a bit of a pick of where they are. But Sean McKeown asked, so based on similarly to, what you're saying, have Collingwood, like you said, they probably don't want to be talking about this, but it is being talked about. And given that, if they're trying to trade him, they can't hide it completely, that there must be some reason why they think that he's not part of their team going forward, if that's the way they see it. So what realistically can they expect back in return? I mean, as you say, they paid two first rounders to get him from the Giants.
Yeah. Look, I feel like the best case scenario at the moment for Adam Treloar, given the situation, could be a late, first round draft pick. If they get anything inside 10 at the moment, they'd be over the moon. So I think it's really now, more realistically, potentially, there's so much water to go under the bridge here. So we're joining the dots, maybe inside 20. I mean, the problem is there is no demand for him at the moment. Like, we keep talking to every club saying, what do you think about Adam Treloar? Do you like Adam Treloar? Not sure. Back off. So, when clubs are banging down the door for a player, that's when their value goes up quite quickly. But at the moment, maybe a late first round pick might be a good result for him. I mean, the issue is the salary. How much of the salaries Collingwood be prepared to pay? And that could be 200, 300, maybe even more if it comes to it. The big question is, if he stays, how's that going to go next year, 2021? Because we keep talking about connectivity, synergy, players being in love with the playing list and the coaching and the atmosphere being perfect, the environment being perfect. Like, imagine the minefield for Collingwood and Adam Treloar next year if he has to stay. So things might become more urgent on this front next week as they sort of realise that maybe they've fallen out of love with each other, in part because of some of the reasons I maybe discussed before. So, and this is Collingwood Football Club too. They got the two Brown brothers, and they've already got one Dacos who had a super year, and they got Nick Dacos coming through, who's a talented playmaker, potentially the number one player in the draft. So there is some uplift in some of the young talent that Collingwood have got coming through in the engine room, R2, Austin Vilagi as well. So I'm bullish on some of the talent that Collingwood has got coming through. So I think they know that really well, and in part that's why they're making in part this decision.
What about quickly a couple of other sort of pies who might be on the outer? Tom Phillips, yep. Has there been much interest in him? You think if pies that would take him, they'd do that deal?
Look, he's on decent money, and he wants, I think the discussion internally around Tom Phillips is he wants his lick of the ice cream. He wants to be, if he's not primary wingman, he wants to drift on ball. He wants to be a really senior AFL figure. He's got shoved out to the half forward flank this year because of Josh Dacos's rise, and I think Josh Dacos is a better player already than Tom Phillips. So he's probably on more money than Collingwood would like. You'd think mate, potentially Melbourne to give him that run and that leg speed on the other wing. That's it. Ed Langdon, who we really admire, still working on that kicking of his. Do you want the same player on the other side of the wing? Tom Phillips is quite similar. Kicks the ball obviously a lot better than me, but still that is his area of weakness potentially. So it's just whether that's a balanced thing for Melbourne. They've also got a young kid, Oscar Baker, who they really like as well. So the other one there, James Gibbs, they were my next club. Wouldn't shock me, Hawthorn. You know, Tom Scully didn't have a great year. He didn't love the hub life, Tom Scully. He was the one who really struggled with the hub. They lost Isaac Smith, so there's a spot in the wing. We know James Cousins and some of the Hawks young midfielders can potentially have a crack at one of them. They've got an NGA player, Connor Downey. So I haven't heard that link, Hawthorn, Tom Phillips at this stage, but it would make sense. Hawthorn will come late. Like if something happens with the Hawks, like they sit back, they drive in second gear, and then it'll get to next Tuesday and they'll whack it in the fourth, and all of a sudden, you know, they'll pluck Tom Phillips or something like that. So wouldn't rule it out, James. Keep watching Graham Wright on this front. At the moment they're saying don't plan to be doing too much on that front, but it wouldn't shock me.
The other big name that we haven't really mentioned today or for a couple of days, but do you know where negotiations are at with Jeremy Cameron and how to get him to Geelong?
Jeez, this is... I thought, wrote a piece fortnight ago before the trade period, and I said, this is the most difficult deal for me. This is the one, I mean, I always, you laugh at this, but I would be laying at bed thinking, how on earth is this deal going to be done? So God knows how Stephen Wells and Jason McCartney are feeling about it. GWS are talking really strong game, and their actions around this deal have been really strong, obviously, so far, matching the Jeremy Cameron deal. So what can Geelong give? At the moment, they're saying, no players want to go, quite clearly, to GWS. Sam Manigola has been mentioned. I think Geelong quietly will ask the question of some players whether they'd be keen to. At the moment, it's a no to Brennan Parfitt and Asava Radigalea, who's an important emerging piece. So, look, I just wondered whether it could be a bit of a pick swap. Cats obviously have some picks there, whether it's, you know, bolstering GWS's draft position with a whole complex range of swaps, which means they find middle ground. In a sense, the Cats don't give up the whole lounge room, and GWS is able to bolster their draft position. Look, Geelong is really reluctant to just go, well, here's pick 11 and here's pick 13, because that is a big part of their planning process for replacing Paddy Dangerfield and Joel Selwood, you know, in a few years' time. It makes sense. They need replenishments at both ends. I mean, Harry Taylor's gone and Tom Hawkins isn't far away. So this draft is really important for the Geelong Football Club. I think the really intriguing question here is, if we break glass in case of emergency in the trade room, and like St Kilda, Geelong says, right, do we walk Jeremy Cameron through to the preseason draft here, and do we get him for nothing? Does Geelong then rely on its network of friends in the draft order around the competition? Say, ring up Adrian Dodorotis and say, just checking, Adrian, you're not going to bid for Cameron, you know, then Sydney, blah, 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 Hawthorn. So then, you know, and in recent years in the preseason draft, there have been few picks. So if you're an opposition, if you're a club like Melbourne, who probably wouldn't go because they've just committed to Ben Brown, you know, are you gonna take a player like Jeremy Cameron who doesn't want to go to your football club? And that goes for Essendon and Sydney and all that as well. It's a really interesting situation because his manager, Alex McDonald, could start making some noises around, well, Jeremy Cameron's not going to do preseason training. He's going to go on a big fishing trip. He might play games at the weekend, but he's not going to train. It'll be for a one-year deal, and then he'll still want to leave to Geelong at the end of the year. Like, well, are you going to pay $1 million a year for a player who's going to be on your list for 1 year, be completely non-committed and potentially disruptive, if you know what I mean? So I'm fascinated by where this will come down to next week, and if they can't agree on a deal, and it's been difficult and tense and awkward so far, just whether Geelong start thinking, right, we're mapping out a plan for how we get Jeremy Cameron through the draft. So it's going to be absolutely fascinating, that one. And do you know what? I don't have the answer. I don't even think anyone has the answer at this point.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I heard Jason McCartney interviewed saying from the Giants' point of view that they don't really want more draft picks. They've got plenty of young, talented kids, and, you know, they don't want another Jai Caldwell where they get a high draft pick, they use it, and then in 2 years or you know, a year or two, he goes back to Melbourne anyway. So they want some players. But he sort of seemed open to the idea that that might not just be swapping with Geelong. They could get other clubs involved. So, yeah, I'm not sure how that would work. But
Wouldn't shock me if that becomes really complex. Like, yeah, big pick swap and some fringe players. Like, if they don't want to come from Geelong, maybe they've got to come from another club. And maybe that's guys like Tom Phillips, as you mentioned, or Mason Cox, or, you know, goodness knows. And the clubs will be trying to do their due diligence on that sort of stuff at the moment. But, yeah, it looks like one of the most potentially complex deals, you know, of the trade period.
For sure. And Tyler O'Neill's just asked about another fringe Geelong player that we've reported is going to be leaving, not to the Giants though, but is that basically a done deal?
Brisbane. They've been eyeing him for some months now. Brisbane, I think he's good mates with Lincoln McCarthy. He's had great medical turnaround, you know, needs a fresh change of environment. Hasn't worked at Geelong, unfortunately. What was he, pick 10 going back in the day? So I think, you know, it's a good move. Brisbane's absolute credit, their medical program, their fitness program, and I forgot the names of the guys who or people who run that, but they're doing just a sensational job. So if you go like a Nakia Cockatoo who needs a change of luck, that's like Joe Danaher, it's really appealing a destination. And Brisbane doing an outstanding job getting the right people in, backing in that program. It's delivered great results. So I think it's a good move for Nakia. What is he worth, a third round pick or something like that? I think Geelong would be pretty fair about that situation. We hope Nakia can make it because he's got some dynamic X factor and some exciting skills and traits.
Well, Lincoln McCarthy worked for him up there, didn't he? So I'd be happy to repeat that.
Certainly.
We'll just wrap it up with one here from Alexander. Ken Spooner's asked, we haven't mentioned Carlton yet. They seem to be at the centre of a lot of comings and goings. Any updates on, say, Adam Saad or anything else the Blues might be into?
Well, put this in your time capsule, Alexander. I think that Carlton is locked and loaded. We will throw the kitchen sink at Zach Merritt as a free agent next year. So I think they're largely pretty pleased with getting Saad and Zach Williams. Add some speed, some outside runs, some electricity, some flexibility in that back half. But I just wonder now whether the main focus is all about Zach Merritt on $1 million a year as a free agent would come for nothing at the end of in next year's restricted free agent. So Essendon can match. They've got some powers there. Vast about Luke Dunstan. That was a report, I think, 24, 48 hours ago. I don't think the interest is strong in Luke Dunstan at that moment. I mean, they do need some help for Patrick Cripps, don't they? For him to really recapture his best footy, I think they do need a co-pilot for him. But I think what they're looking for is some quality there, not necessarily a fringe player, because they've got Paddy Dow, they've got Lachie O'Brien, Liam Stocker. What's happened to him? So I still think they need to keep that opportunity for these sorts of guys for next season. But it is a really big year for David David Teague. So I don't think they've got a third star player in line this year's trade period. I would be surprised. But I am really fascinated about the merit interest for next year. I think that would be something to be really excited about because I think he's yin and yang with Patrick Cripps. Cripps is a big guy, the clearance winner. And you got Merritt, who's got the polish, the speed, and the sleekness and the skill. So he'd be a perfect Robin to the Paddy Cripps' Batman.
Bombers fans would be pretty happy about that after they poach Saad this year and then go after Merritt next year.
Yeah, he wouldn't be thrilled, Adrian. And we're potentially joining dots here, but is, you know, Josh Dunkley is important acquisition too, because if there's a chance that Merritt goes, I mean, having Dunkley this year to go well, go up the ladder, to help keep Merritt, Shield, et cetera, happy, like I think that Dunkley is a big acquisition for the Essendon Football Club going back to where we started things, sometimes I talk way too much in these darn things. I just absolutely go on, so I apologise for banging on.
It's been like an absolute gold there. Thanks for that, Jane. Yeah, it's just interesting. We know clubs do look, you know, 12 months at least ahead, you know, along with the Jeremy Cameron deal. No doubt they were thinking about that
2 years ago.
In advance, yeah, to plot all that. So they will be thinking about those things, looking at lists and who comes out of contract and who might be available, but then you never know who might drop from the sky like an Adam Treloar or someone that no one expected. So that's what keeps it interesting. So thanks for joining us for that, Jay. Lots of great updates there. People, of course, get on the Herald Sun, all the News Corp sites for all the trade updates, and we'll be back with more Trade TV tomorrow.
Thanks very much for having me, Al. See you, mate. Bye-bye.